Hi, friends.
Hi, friends.
We're back. It's episode 92 of The Brunch and Judge. It's totally 90s.
It's totally 90s.
We are your hosts. I'm April.
And I'm Claire.
And this week we are going to tell you stories of historical value.
You're just not, we're not going to tell you history, just historical value.
Well, I mean, worth listening to because it's not your typical history lesson here, the brunch
Right.
and
I almost feel like some of this could go under what they didn't teach you in school.
Well, that's kind of the route I went was, hey,
Same.
here's like our basic paragraph information that we get, but here's all the other shit that was actually around. And you're like, ah, oh,
Right. Right,
fuck.
right, right. Yeah. Same, same, same.
But anyway, before we get into that, Claire,
Yes.
what are you judging this week?
Oh gosh. So last weekend, April was in Kentucky and
Woohoo!
we got to spend some bestie time
That's
together.
right. And what do besties do together, Claire?
Oh, we watch all the
Yes, we do.
documentaries. We lounge around and we're lazy and we watch all the things on Netflix that we didn't get to watch together. So we just were Netflix and we found this thing about twin flames. Neither one of the thing that's now everywhere
Everywhere.
that
Never
we
heard
had
of
never
it.
heard of it.
Knew nothing.
I think it had just dropped.
Like,
Nobody
yeah.
had heard of it.
And it was
I
just
think it
like
may
this.
have just dropped like
Like
that
number
Friday.
one or whatever, or
Yeah,
brand
we're
new.
like,
And we're like,
what?
the fuck is this?
Yeah, we're like, what? I've never heard of this. I'm like, let's watch this. And so we did. And by the end, we were like, what the fuck did I just watch?
Like, that
And
took a
what
turn I
is
wasn't
that?
ready
Why?
for.
No. And it's just like, and then at the end, when it, how many was it? Like 30,000 cults or 10, what was it? It was some outrageous.
There were 10,000
10,
cults
10,
in the
two
United
cups
States
pumpkin.
alone. You're like,
Two
what?
cups pumpkin. Yeah. Yeah, 10,000 cults. And we were like, what? Like, I just,
Just seems like
that
a
right there
lot.
blew my mind. Just the fact that there are all these cults that nobody even knows about and they just
Right?
keep popping up in documentaries on Netflix and then people become obsessed with them. But now there's also like a thing on Prime that's about the twin flames. And I think it's called Desperately Seeking Soulmate. And there's also like podcast stuff out there about twin flames. And I'm like, where did all this come from? I have never in my life. Anyway, I'm judging the twin flames, not really so much the people who got sucked into it, because I mean, I can kind of understand that. Like, because I feel like in the beginning, it was marketed as almost like a relationship workshop.
Well,
And I know so many people out there who are lonely and they just really desperately want to be in a relationship and find that person
And
that is their other half or whatever you want to call it. I get it.
I also feel
But
like
like,
it blew up. I mean, we were watching like in a certain period of time, but my bet is that it blew up even more in 2020, like when everything shut down and we're all online and like that was a
right.
community that you could be part of. Like I could absolutely see how like you get pulled in because you're desperately seeking community and support in
Yes, because
a
everybody was
shitty fucked up
so
world.
isolated. Yes, especially them, because everybody was so isolated and you weren't allowed to be around anybody. I get it, you know. And I'm judging the two people that, you know, sucked all those people
You
in,
mean
you
Jeff and
know.
Shalia? I mean, I'm sorry,
Yes.
Megan. Her name's fucking
Me
Megan.
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 Yeah. Yes. Like, where the fuck
Megan.
Shalia? Yeah. But then he continues to call himself Jeff.
Well, but like he was
But then he had
Ender
those.
for a while,
He was
remember?
Ender. He was Ender. Like, what the hell? Like, come on.
But I'm like Jeff and Megan.
Yeah. Like, Basic white bitches, I swear. Anyway, I just, if you've not watched it, go watch it.
Definitely
It's
watch it.
Wild. And then at the end, it just took a complete turn that April and I were not prepared for
Like
because.
I like there's a level in which I can understand how people fall into, and then there's a point
Yes.
where I'm like, whoa, they got people to
And
go over like
also,
this line, and like I don't know how they did that.
Right. I'm gonna just toss out, like, just warn you all, there are trigger warnings because
Triggers.
it turns into where they start telling people that they know, because the twin flame, okay, for those of you who've not watched, got sucked into it, twin flames is basically you're like uber soulmate. You're like your souls are mirror images of each other and yada yada yada. And if anybody is my soulmate in this life, it's April. That's all there is to
That's it. That's
it.
right.
April is my twin flame.
We are twin flames. I'm neither one of us is going to be the masculine or the feminine. We are
No.
just the fuck who we are, and that's it.
That's
Sorry,
right.
guys.
We're not falling
Sorry.
into that bullshit.
No.
But that's how it started, was like there's somebody out there who's your twin flame, your mirror soulmate. And so they started telling people like, "Oh, you have to find this person." And then it evolved into, "Oh, we have been ordained to tell you who that person is. We know who you're." And it wound up being like, "Oh, it's the person that you just fucking broke up with. So you need to turn into a stalker and go get that person back."
Even though they
And
don't
they
want
like,
anything to do with you at all.
yes. And that was wild. That was a whole wild ride.
Right? Ugh.
And then it evolved into, because there were so many women in this community, more women than men, then it evolved into like, we'll tell you who your soulmate, and also because of all the restraining orders that were happening, because all these women were like stalking all
Right.
these ex-boyfriends, then it was like, oh, well, your twin mate is, or your twin flame is only within the twin flame community. And so we're going to tell you who your twin flame is. And so they were pairing up women with
Because
women.
like 90% of this group is women. I mean, of course
Yes.
they are. I mean, it's
Right.
women are
And so they're
very
pairing up
soulmatey.
women with women. And then they started in on this, well, there's this thing called the divine masculine and the divine feminine. And so one of you is the divine masculine and one of you is the divine feminine. And if you're the masculine, then you, regardless of whether you have felt this way or not, need to start using he, him pronouns. And you need to start presenting yourself as a male, whether you identify as a transgender person or not. And that's where the trigger warning comes in, because then they start telling these people, like, you need to start becoming a transgender person, basically. And I was like,
I
whoa,
know.
this, whoa, hold on. No.
Well, in that by the end of it, you find out at least two people have successfully gone through
Transition.
transition surgery, and you're
Yes.
like, there's a lot of steps before you're eligible for that. And a lot of
Right.
that includes, a lot of psychology
Right.
and counseling to ensure that, this is a good fit for you mentally.
Right.
And so the fact that two people managed to get through this is like, how the fuck level of brainwashing did you manage to get there? Like, whoa. Like, hopefully they authentically do feel that way. That
Right.
this feels right for them and that
And I mean,
this
right
isn't,
now within the
but
documentary, those two people seem happy, but there were a lot of people who tried it and they just were not, and they're like, nope, and no, not doing it. I'm out. And that was like where the line was like, no, you're not gonna tell me that I'm gonna be a man.
Well, and
And I'm
like
not, no.
when you see any of the videos, like, do I think Shalia is hot garbage? I do. But Jeff is the one who will basically like bite back at you if you don't just agree with him and tell you that you're failing or you're not listening to the true calling or what, like turns everything
Right.
on you and you're like ah, and I hate him. I hate him. Oh,
Yeah.
garbage.
And then if you really bite back, then he just, like, especially if you're a woman, then he'll just call you a bitch.
Yeah.
He'll just be like, quit being a bitch. And you're like, whoa,
And of course,
take that. Take your small dick energy elsewhere, sir.
if
Like,
you
go
push
away.
back too much, then they just block you and kick you out and tell everyone that you're evil.
Yeah, that
Normal
you've.
culty crap there. Very normal.
Right. Yeah.
So.
But then by the end of it, then he's telling everybody that he's basically like Jesus reincarnated, as most cults do. So that's the point where you're like, this, and they're like, no, it's not a cult. I'm like, oh, it is absolutely a cult at that
It's
point.
somehow it's a cult and a multi-level marketing scheme at
At the same time.
the
So if you are into learning about either of those things, go watch all the documentaries, listen to all
Absolutely.
the podcasts,
And
because
my
it's
favorite
amazing.
thing is that in the Amazon Prime documentary, you it takes a slightly different perspective, and you find out a little bit
Yes.
more about how basically, even though they're open to LGBTQ, they're really forcing everyone into like a heteronorm kind of a relationship.
Right.
To the point that like they buy these stupid huge crystals, like big tall
Yes.
crystal pillars,
Yes.
which Shalia, as in Megan, that Megan communes with, and they tell her things, but one of them revealed itself to be divine masculine and the other revealed itself to be divine feminine. I'm like, how'd you manage to order one of each? Like, I mean, just like
Just
you just
out of the
ordered
blue,
these off
yeah.
of the internet. Like, stop acting like you know shit.
I know.
It's like crystals
It's
don't have
wild.
gender. What the hell is wrong with you?
I know. It's wild.
Yes,
But
definitely go
yeah,
watch it.
if you are into culty stuff, go watch it. It's wild. Yeah, that's my judges. April and I both were like, "Where did this come from? Oh my gosh." You know, like the first one, I feel like the Netflix one is more heartbreaking, I guess, because these people like that they're talking to lost
Right.
family, were separated from family members. They have not talked to family members in so long. They've talked to these mothers who basically have lost children to this cult. You know, like their kids have like disowned them and are like, no, we don't have anything to do with you because, you know, we're part of this is our family now. And then you can tell these mothers are just heartbroken because it's like, we love you. And these people have just completely brainwashed their children. But yeah, and the Prime one, that one's more of like, I feel like that one's more of like an
Yes, they
investigative,
do a lot. They
like,
talk
'cause
to
there's
the
a, because,
reporter a lot, and
yeah,
you're like,
because
yeah.
there was an article that came out and they talked to the journalist who wrote it and, you know, and then like when that came out, like then Jeff and Shalia like clapped back at this person and they're like, you're evil, you know, and they sent her like this nonsensical email that was like a mile
Pages
long.
long,
Yeah.
you know, like.
Yeah. And it's just like, who are you people? This is ridiculous. Anyway, but yeah, go watch it. It's a ride for sure.
Oh, that's an excellent judge. I love that so much, Claire. I love it so much.
Yes. Anyway, so what are you judging this week?
Well, to go ahead and continue the culty feels,
Yes.
I am judging a recent video I saw of our favorite piece of crap pastor, Greg Locke.
Yeah,
Now,
Greg
if you
Locke.
don't know, if Greg Locke is the pastor of some piece of shit garbage church in Tennessee, in which everything is, you know, the pro
Satan and
everything is
demons.
Satan and demons, and witches are always attacking, and blah 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 blah
And
blah
he's the one that you hear that's like, he's usually up on a big stage and he's walking back and forth furiously and he's screaming at everything. And
blah. Well, I mean, everything's demons.
lately,
Autism is
yeah.
demons, and
And lately, in a lot of the TikTok videos I've been seeing, he's been wearing like these wild, like
the
loud
shirts.
Hawaiian shirts. Like, what are you
You're like,
wearing,
you're in
sir?
Tennessee, sir. What are you doing?
I know, like, what is this? What is this wardrobe choice?
But like, he's hot garbage, and his followers are hot garbage because they're mega insane people who will
Yes.
force Jesus down your throat just for funsies. Like,
Right.
they don't care about your immortal soul. Boy. But so recently, he came out against everybody's favorite Starbucks. Guys, first let me tell you, this is the sugar cookie almond milk latte from Starbucks, and it is Christmas in a cup. It is perfection. Go have it. It's my favorite thing in the whole world. And I got a venti today because I used points, so I might as well get use my
You might as
stars. I
well.
used my stars, so I got a free one. So like, woohoo! But yes. So like, here I am with my Starbucks. And so he's like, you know, Starbucks, of course, is demons, is Satan. This lovely mermaid here image is Lilith. 1,000% Lilith.
Yes,
A
it
thousand percent. And apparently it's witchcraft and blah blah blah. And it's, you know, all
It's a
the witches.
coven.
And
It's a
so
coven.
well, and like he said something about Starbucks coffee was communism or whatever, and I'm
Yes.
like, all right, apparently you don't understand how capitalism works, but you do you, buddy. You do you.
Right.
Can promise you of all of the coffee shops, Starbucks is firmly in the capitalism pile, but all right. But I'm over here being like, what an idiot. God, he's such a nightmare. It's witchcraft.
Because he was saying in this video that if you brought a Starbucks coffee cup into his sanctuary. He's gonna like knock it out of your hand and tell you to get it out of there.
He's like, you can drink it outside of here, but don't you be bringing those cups inside. So now I'm like, guys, let's all go visit him. Let's all get our Starbucks cups. The Christmas ones, of course, you know, to be on
Yes.
theme. And let's
Yes.
all go in and drink our Starbucks coffee and be like, 1,000% Lilith. So that's my judge, because he's an idiot and a nightmare. And just he's one of those people who, as he's up there preaching, he'll be like, I promise you, I studied it. And I'm like, you studied what?
Yeah,
Starbucks? Like
I'm like,
what?
what are you
What are
studying?
you studying that's telling you that Starbucks is witchcraft slash Lilith slash communism? I don't think those all go together, by the way.
No, they don't.
Just saying.
If not, go find that TikTok video.
Was gonna
It's
say,
hilarious.
I'm gonna. Can Christians go to Starbucks?
Stay moving
Apparently
forward.
not.
Okay. In our office, on this campus, but especially in this tent, I do not want anything that carries the Starbucks logo on this church property.
And then they all cheer because they're idiots. All those assholes are drinking Starbucks. Let's be real.
That is Lilith 1,000%. I've studied it. It is a demon. It is sexual deviance. I am done.
I forgot. It's sexual deviance too. My bad.
Yes.
My bad. Starbucks. Sexual deviance. Okay. Okay.
Yes.
I've been done with Starbucks for a long time. It's communist coffee anyhow.
It's communist coffee. I love it.
You can look. You can go and drink a gallon of Starbucks today. That's fine. Don't you bring in cups in this room. If I see it, I'm going to tell you to take it out.
So is it okay if I put it in another
You
cup?
hear me?
Yes.
I'm telling you, that company is not only one of the most godless companies on the planet, they are full-blown 1,000% a witch's coven. I promise you it's the facts.
A witch's coven.
On it, Starbucks is witchcraft.
I mean, not wrong. Not wrong. Starbucks is witchcraft. This is the most delicious drink. Again, let me tell you, Starbucks is paying me nothing, but they should pay me everything because the sugar cookie almond milk latte is perfection. I prefer it hot because it makes all the Christmas sprinkles melt and give it a little bit of extra sweetness. But the cold is really refreshing as well. It's just the sprinkles sit at the bottom, they don't melt. But you do you. You do you. But have this. Merry Christmas from Starbucks. 1,000% Lilith. It's a
That's
coven.
right. It's a witch's coven.
It's a witch's coven, witchcraft, the communist
Like,
coffee.
is he saying that because of the logo? It's a that mermaid thing? Is that what he's
Whatever, like,
saying?
what? Why do you hate this weird mermaid split tail thing? Like, I mean,
Yeah,
why?
he's an idiot.
Why spend that much time studying it, by the way? Because he studied it, he said. He promises you he studied this, and it's a demon. So I didn't. I mean, I won't lie. It's been 20 years since I gave a damn about church or religious things, but I don't remember having a book of demons growing up, in order to determine who were the
No.
demons. I mean, I also don't remember any demons in the Bible that liked coffee or mermaids.
No.
So I'm not sure where he's getting his information and where he's studying it, but I'm gonna say probably not a reliable resource.
No. Probably just the internet.
It's demons and Lilith and witchcraft. 1,000%.
That's
Sir,
right.
you can't have 1,000%.
Nope. You know what? We'll just keep Starbucks and you just stay over there.
But I won't lie. I mean, like I love Starbucks, but like seeing that makes me want to have it more because it feels
Right.
like a personal kick in the nuts to idiots like him. I'm like, all
I
right,
know.
here we go, Lilith.
I
Here we
just want
go.
to go buy a bunch of like Starbucks cups and deliver them to his church.
What's even better, we don't even have to do it. Like, just get all of the sleeves.
Oh yeah.
Just, and honestly, I bet if you just went to Starbucks and asked people, hey, I'm gonna send a shipment to this idiot asshole Can I have your cup when you're done? They'd be like, absolutely. Are you kidding?
Here, just wash it out. Yeah.
Don't even wash it out. Let's send all the germs. Let's just,
There you go.
you know.
Throw it in a cardboard box, send it down.
And then just put
I dig it.
like maybe put like the shredded paper on top with a note that just says 1000% Lilith.
Or just like to Greg from Lilith.
Okay, I love that. I love that. Joy. That brings me joy. So
Somebody needs to do this.
that
We
is,
need to make this happen.
I feel the need to figure out a way to make this happen. If I feel like if I lived closer, like if we were in Kentucky, we would do a field trip where we just went down and like sprinkled Starbucks crap everywhere, you know, intentionally walked in, like handed out free Starbucks coffee or whatever.
Right.
What a, it's just of all the things to like talk about, be up in arms about, Starbucks. Okay.
And you're preaching
You're
about it.
preaching
That's
about
what
it.
I think is wild. Like,
You
this is in your
can't
sermon.
bring that coffee in here. I mean, you can put it in another cup and then it's fine. It's the logo. We're obsessed about the logo. Okay.
Like, I don't care. Yeah, I know. I don't care if you go buy it and drink it
Which feels
elsewhere.
weird to me because I'm like, so it's okay if I pay for 1000% Lilith and I give my money to 1000% Lilith, but I can't bring my cup in here. It's still witchcraft. I still have my witchcraft
Have
Lilith
still,
socialism
yes.
communism coffee in my personal mug instead of the logo, but like
Right.
it's the logo that's the demon. I didn't realize they were that restricted, but what the fuck do I know?
Right.
I missed that day in Sunday school, Claire.
Same. Me too. Was not there for that.
But there you have it. That is my judge.
That's an excellent judge.
1000%.
Oh my gosh, he's an idiot.
God, I know. But like the people cheering him on, that section,
Right.
I'm like, well, you're cheering for this. Are you okay? Like, should I?
Right.
Do I need to like rescue you? Is Lilith in your ear right now telling you to cheer?
Probably. Probably.
Anyway. All right. So let's get on to our topic of the day. It's history,
Yes,
where we
history.
tell you things that you never knew before, because who wants to know things you already know?
Right, that's lame.
It's boring.
It is.
All right. Claire goes first this week. Claire, what
Yeah.
story from history have you brought us?
I'm going to be talking about prohibition and how the American government poisoned people.
That's right. In the grand tradition that is the American government, they poisoned people.
Are shitty as usual.
I mean, it.
They're staying on theme of being shit
I'm
asses
just
per
saying, it's par
usual.
for the course. I look back at American history and go, we suck.
I
Okay.
mean, yeah, man. Ugh.
I mean, not everybody sucks, but
Poor
like,
government, man.
we
Ooh.
suck in a different way. So it's cool. It's Lilith, a
We're like on
thousand
a,
percent.
we are. We're on a different level. Anyway, so my sources are Wikipedia, Britannica, loc.gov, which is Library of Congress, and slate.com. As most of us know, Prohibition was a time in America's history where it was illegal to sell, manufacture, and transport alcohol. And it was from 1920 to 1933. So 13
I had
years.
forgotten that it was that long.
Same.
Like, damn.
I know. No wonder the 20s were like ridiculous.
I mean, like, I'm kind of feeling it in my soul now as we're in the 20s again. And I'm like,
Right.
these 20s suck too. So, all right.
So, what started all that was this thing called the temperance movement in the 1830s.
Wait, do you mean Christians?
Yes. Indeed. Are we shocked by this? No. Because alcohol, as always, was associated with loose morals, poverty and insanity.
I mean, okay. I argue that my morals are loose regardless of alcohol, but you do you. You do you.
I mean, this is what the temperance, but that's what they said.
Loose
And
morals.
they focused mainly on Irish and German immigrants because,
Well, everybody hated the Irish. It's fair.
yeah, that is fair. So,
I say that as wearing my Scotland sweatshirt, by the
I
way.
know, right? So this movement was most successful in, shock, surprise, rural, southern, and western states,
Yep.
but not so much in urban areas. We're not surprised by that either.
No.
So by the early 1900s, it became more of the prohibition movement and was calling for a national ban instead of just like, oh, we need to like, oh, churchy, we need, God doesn't want us to drink, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And so by 1917, the US had entered World War I. So on top of all these religious groups that were pushing for prohibition to be a national ban on alcohol for all their ridiculous moral reasons, there was this new justification for the national ban, because they thought that limiting the production of alcohol would allocate more resources like grain to the war effort.
I mean, fair, I guess. But I argue, if you're asking people to die for the preservation of the world, can't they drink? Let them have a drink.
I know,
That's all.
right? It's like, what are we doing? So, yeah, it's just like, what the fuck, man? Take away everything.
They do.
It's like, ugh. So in June of 1917, the nationwide prohibition was proposed as a constitutional amendment to Congress. Even though it was marketed as, a wartime thing, it wasn't actually ratified until after the war was over
Ooh.
on January 19th, which is bullshit.
That is
And not
bullshit.
in January 1919, that's what I meant to say. Because we were out of the war by January 19th, or by like 1918.
Yeah.
So it wasn't actually ratified until the war was done. So it's like too late, but whatever. So really, it was actually for religious reasons, but we're just
Yes.
gonna say it was for the war because we're
We
shit
love to
asses.
do that. We love to be like, it's for this, but it's not.
But not, yeah. So the 18th Amendment was added to the Constitution, banned the sales, production, transportation, not consumption of alcohol.
You can still drink it, you just
You
can't.
can own it, you can own it, and you can drink it.
But you can't.
Like it, you can have it in your possession and drink it. You just, they couldn't see you buying it, selling it, or transporting it. All that's illegal. So, hooray. But it was, yeah, banned sales, production, transportation of intoxicating liquors, in quotes. Congress came up with the National Prohibition Act, also known as the Volstead Act, outlined the boundaries of the 18th Amendment. It's named after Minnesota Representative Andrew Volstead, who was the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. He was a big fan of prohibition, obviously, and he helped draft the bill. So that's why it was named after him. The act was actually vetoed by w Woodrow Wilson at the time. But Congress voted to override his veto because they
He
suck.
tried to save us. He tried
He
to
did.
save us, guys. Let's all remember
He
that.
did. He
That was the
did.
true effort on his part. He's like,
Yeah.
these fucking idiots. What are they trying to do here?
Right. Woodrow Wilson, the real MVP. There were certain exemptions, like obviously communion
As
wine
it'd be
for
like
Catholics
Catholics.
were allowed because shock, surprise that Catholicism got the exemption.
Well, but that's
But
because it's no longer wine, it's blood. It's the blood of
yeah,
Jesus. It's like it's not really
sacramental wine.
we're consecrating it, so now it's blood, and it's totally more normal that way.
Right.
Less offensive.
Right. And on top of all of that, individual states began passing laws to help enforce this Volstead Act. So, nation was considered dry by January 17th, 1920.
Wow.
Boo.
Wow.
Boo, indeed.
I mean, like, I don't really drink, but I'm still mad about it.
Right. To which the Americans literally said, "Hold my beer." Or probably more like, "Hold my moonshine." At the time, they obviously continued to drink in mass quantities.
Well, I mean, yes. The Roaring Twenties. Anyone?
Right.
Like, I just assume it's all bathtub gin and dancing is how I perceive the
Well,
twenties.
and what was it? Alcoholism rates skyrocketed in the 1920s, which I'm like, has nowadays, it's like, has the government learned nothing?
No, they haven't. They're idiots.
Because you can like find a direct parallel from this to like abortion now.
Yep.
Like, you ban abortion, your abortion rates are gonna fucking skyrocket. Like, it was proven that you made abortion more accessible and abortion rates actually plummeted because you gave better access to like healthcare and birth control and all that. Now you're starting to take all that away again and start like even remove like certain forms of birth control. And it's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, have you all learned nothing?
No.
Like, I feel like there is like a direct parallel with all this stuff. Like, you restrict something so much, they're gonna fucking do it anyway, and it's gonna become worse and worse and worse than if you
Absolutely.
actually just let people freely do it. Anywho, I digress on all that. But anyway, so words like bootlegger, bathtub gin, speakeasy, moonshine became part of the vernacular during the time because it was like, we're gonna do what we want, and you can't stop us. Just in New York City, 30,000 speakeasies existed by the end of the decade.
Woohoo!
So everybody's like, we do what we want. Street gangs turned into bootlegging empires, smuggling, stealing, manufacturing illegal alcohol. Crime was on the rise. Well, at least that kind of crime was on
Right.
the rise. So really, I feel like the government just created.
A huge ass nightmare problem for
Like, yeah, like
themselves. Because it's
they
like, now you have to deal
manufactured,
with it. Good luck.
yes, they manufactured this entire issue that did not exist before. And for what? For Christians, for moral reasons? Just because one group wanted to control everybody?
Yep. It's
And
almost just like today.
again, parallels. Need I say more? But I digress. Anyway, bootleggers would steal industrial alcohol in massive amounts and they would redistill it to make it drinkable. So by the mid 1920s, around 60 million gallons of industrial alcohol would be stolen annually, every single year. 60 million gallons every
Wow.
year. Yeah. So the Treasury Department comes along. This is under Calvin Coolidge. And they ordered alcohol, industrial alcohol manufacturers to start putting poisonous additives into the alcohol, creating denatured alcohol, which is what I use at work to clean my signs. Anyway, to discourage consumption, and it's stuff like methanol, methyl alcohol, keep people. But anyway, they would redistill it because, crafty Americans are like, oh, we can be smarter than you. You can't stop us. So then they're like, oh, well, y'all need to start adding some more shit to it. So manufacturers started adding all kinds of junk to the, and we're talking stuff like paint thinners, isopropyl alcohol, all that kind of junk. All the stuff, all these chemicals that people use that had alcohol in it. They were buying and redistilling and doing that. But so they started adding, and I have a list here of things, kerosene, brucine, which is related to strychnine,
Oh my God.
gasoline, cadmium, iodine, mercury salt, zinc, nicotine, ether, formaldehyde, chloroform, camphor, carbolic acid, quinine, and acetone. Any of all those things, they started adding stuff like that to keep people from consuming industrial alcohol. And then the Treasury Department also demanded that they start adding more methyl alcohol to the mix, and it needed to be up to 10% total of the product, which wound up being like one of the most deadly parts of it because it was 10%. And they couldn't wind up, like, I guess, distilling that out of it. So, and there was one concoction that they wound up calling Ginger Jake, which wound up incapacitating 100,000 Americans eventually.
Like, how many people died because the government is
I'm getting
literally poisoning them?
to
It's
that.
like, shit tons of people have died at this point. Okay,
Yeah.
awesome. Good job, government.
So this is the mid-20s when they start doing all this. So at the end of 1926, the effects of this were almost immediately seen. Christmas Eve 1926 in New York City, 60 people were hospitalized. 8 people died that night directly because of this. Within 2 days, 23 more people died.
Wow.
So right at the end of 1926, doctors realized that this wasn't just like your typical alcohol poisoning. They realized something else was going on, and I guess they had people testing anyway. They figured out pretty quickly what was going on, and the medical examiner from New York City, his name was Charles Norris, he came out and he said, "The government knows it is not stopping drinking by putting poisons in alcohol, yet it continues its poisoning process." I can't even read my own writing. Needless? Yeah. Yeah, there we go. It continues its poisoning process, needless of the fact that people determined to drink are daily absorbing poison. Knowing this to be true, the United States government must be charged with the moral responsibility for the deaths that poisoned liquor causes, although it cannot be held legally responsible. Like, you fuckers
Yeah,
know,
you know.
you're morally responsible for killing all these people. This guy was trying to put out warnings in New York City saying that practically all liquor sold in NYC today is toxic. He tried to publicize every alcohol poisoning death that he could. He condemned the federal government for the effect on the poorest, because again,
That's who
like
gets hurt by this the most,
always,
always.
because they talked about how the wealthy people, they could afford to go out and like actually get decent whiskey, even though you're not supposed to sell it or any of that junk. They could still go out and buy it. But the poor people, they are the ones who were buying this stuff because they can't get anything else. That's all they could get was the stuff that these people had tried to distill, and it still had all these other awful, terrible chemicals in it that's killing people. Anti-prohibition legislators push back on all these lethal additives. They're like, "What is your problem? This is ridiculous." But all this special denaturing didn't end until the 18th Amendment was repealed in 1933. So it kept going, even though all these people in Congress were finally like pushing back. These anti-prohibition were like, "You all, this is
It's like you're
no."
killing way more people than we're
Yeah.
dying to begin with. So
Right.
like,
And so
what
after it
the?
was all said and done, over 10,000 people died.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. Estimated over 10,000 people were
That
poisoned
is
to death
insane.
by on government's orders. I mean, granted, the government wasn't like pushing it down their throats,
They
but
knew that I mean, they were putting it in there specifically knowing that people were drinking it.
we're going to drink it.
And they were like, well, yeah, whatever. Let's just murder them and pretend like that's
Yeah.
gonna stop it from happening. No, it's not.
Yes. All in the name
Of Jesus.
of Jesus and Christianity.
Claire,
Again,
just
why there needs to be a separation of church and state.
state, yeah.
OMG.
But
For the love.
just to clarify, and for the people in the back, Claire, what was Jesus's first miracle?
Turning water into wine.
And not just any wine,
The
the
best wine.
best fucking wine.
The best.
So, like,
Not distilled, denatured alcohol. The best wine.
I'm just saying, first
That
one.
$10,000 a bottle wine. Okay, y'all.
So, like, maybe back off, guys. Maybe just back off.
And for all of you out there, no, it wasn't grape juice. You may think it was grape juice. No.
It was not
Not.
grape juice. Grape juice did not exist. That was not a thing. Stop it.
No.
Stop it.
I know. There are people that are like, no, it was really grape juice. No, it wasn't. Was not.
If it was grape juice, then why didn't God divine it to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and whoever else when they wrote about it to put in the words grape juice?
Grape juice.
Just saying.
But yeah.
That was excellent, Claire. And also another reminder of why the federal government is hot garbage and honestly tends to try and hurt its people as a general rule. Because government's
Right.
stupid. Hate
But I'm
them.
like doing this story, and I'm just like, oh my God, there are so many parallels to today, which not with alcohol, but with other shit that's
Right.
going on, where it is, it's always clearly the least well-off people that are hurt the
Well, and
most. And
it always feels like every big thing that comes through is religiously motivated, and I don't want any religion touching any of my
and
government.
I don't understand it. I mean, you all talk about religious freedoms, and it's like,
Well, but they
and I
don't
know this
really
is getting
mean
off
that,
topic,
yeah. But
but I know that.
it's like, no, just my religion. Everyone is free to practice my religion, but no other religion. I'm like, oh, wow,
Right.
stop it. It's gross.
Yes. And that is maddening in itself. I mean, there's so many like underlying things to this kind of thing with, yeah, the religious ramifications and all that. And it talked about how, like, all these people who were like for prohibition, like the Christians and all that, were just so shocked that it didn't work. You know?
Idiots.
Right. I think it was, was it Herbert Hoover? I think it was Herbert Hoover said that it was a good experiment. Prohibition was an interesting experiment or something like that.
Which would be fine, except we obviously still haven't learned from that, so here we are.
Right. And I'm just like, do people not understand? The government, Congress, all of them. Again, it's like any teenager. You know, you all are the parents trying to keep us under your thumb. You tell a teenager not to do something
They're
and you're
gonna
going to
go
be a
do it.
hard ass about it. They're going to go do it anyway. You
I
know.
just feel like my litmus test, my rule of thumb, as we go forward, should, when it comes to elected officials, should be if they ever use the statement, well, God, well then no. Are you voting this way because your constituents have specifically asked you to vote this way? Okay. Are you voting this way because of your personal belief in God and what you believe God is telling you to do? No, not
Right.
okay. That's not your job. You don't get to bring that in. Sorry, that's not how this works. So if that's how you want to do it, then don't even get in politics because it's not about you. It's about the people.
Right.
It's annoying. I hate it all. It's gross.
Yes. Anyway, but yeah, government out there bringing over Nazis, killing people because they're drinking alcohol, all kinds of shady shit.
Right.
Fabulous.
It is fabulous. Yay.
Yay. Okay, so what story are you talking about today?
Well, today I decided since it's right before Thanksgiving, our national day of giving thanks and
Nah.
celebrating unity and family and love, that I'm going to talk about the pilgrims and the first Thanksgiving and how.
I wonder how we all sat down together at that big table and ate all the cornucopia.
That's right. How it was exactly the most beautiful, perfect day of all days it's ever been. We all held hands and sang Kumbaya.
I'm
So,
sure it was just like that.
absolutely. I got all of my information from VOA, How Stuff Works, Smithsonian, Business Insider, the CBC, and Good Housekeeping article, because
Ooh.
you never know. But I'm also here to be like, good on you, Good Housekeeping, for being like, no, it's all a lie. Here's the truth.
I know, right? Yes.
So Thanksgiving started as the way most things that in the world seem to start, with a man being an asshole and using religion to control people.
Oh, we're back to religion controlling people. Hooray!
So the man who is an asshole and started using religion to control people, of course, is Henry the Eighth. Did anyone expect that to happen? You may
No.
remember that Henry the Eighth was not super happy that his wife Catherine had only produced one child, and God forbid it was a
Right.
girl. It's a girl. Ugh, totally useless, as we know.
Yes.
Women. Ew, gross women.
Right.
And so he wanted a new wife because he, of course, was an idiot and was in a time when he didn't understand how genetics work and that he is the one that controls whether or not it's a boy or a girl. He has that
Right.
power. We do not. We can only give the full, complete X chromosome. Only he can give the half-assed piece of shit Y one.
Right.
Just literally just half of a chromosome, by the way. I don't know why we call it a Y. It's like a V. Can we call it V?
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway. But he also did not understand that all the years of inbreeding within the family lines had caused a lot of issues, specifically along the male
Right.
line, which is why the women children were the ones that managed to not fucking die. So he's an idiot. But he decided, you know what? I want a new wife. Try again. It's gonna be better. It's gonna be better this time. But
Is it though?
at this point, the whole world was Catholic because Catholicism.
Right.
And the Pope was like, no, you're married and you have a kid, so you've consummated your marriage, so I'm not annulling this garbage. Sucks to be you. You made your bed, lie in it, is basically how that went down.
Yes.
And as we know, King Henry obviously was like, fuck that shit, and was like, deuces.
Yeah.
And made his own stupid church, the Church of England, so that he could, get a divorce and have sex with Anne Boleyn and have another daughter, and on and on and on it goes.
Yes.
But he decided his new church, the Church of England, needed a head, like the Pope was the head of the Catholic Church. So who's a better choice than him to be the head of the Church of England? I mean,
Right.
ordained by God to be king, ordained by God to be the head of the church. That seems perfectly
Right.
reasonable to me. And of course, membership in the new Church of England was mandatory, which
Shock,
really
surprise.
went over super well with those devout Catholics, let me tell you. So, yeah, shock,
Right.
surprise. Many years of war and conflict ensued. So there were many groups who were angry or disagreed or whatever, but the Puritans were a group who thought Henry's new church was too Catholic. It's like we kept too much of the Catholic crap. Let's get rid of that. Let's go back to much more simpler worship
There you go.
styles. We're going for like the early Christian church feels, from the Bible. So they wanted to get rid of the Book of Prayers. There's probably a Book of Demons there, maybe, that
Oh,
Greg Locke
yeah.
has, because I don't have that.
Yeah.
They didn't want to do the whole stained glass thing, no more incense, none of the cool little robe things for the priest. They're like, this is too much. Too much. It's a big distraction from the focus, which is the Bible.
Right.
And they wanted to be able to kind of practice that way and still remain part of the Church of England. And this is where there were two different groups. So there were the Puritans who wanted to like purify the Church of England and fix it
Right.
because it was not right. And then there was a group that were called the Separatists because they were like, we don't want any part of this nonsense. We just want to come over here, do our stuff the way we want to do it.
Right, yeah.
But you do you over there.
Away from us.
Yes, away from us. So A group of the separatists ended up fleeing to the Netherlands in 1608. They were really hoping this is the way to be. We can practice our little faith freely and do our little thing away from the chaos of England, and it's all going to be great. But it wasn't great.
Right.
It was really hard. They had to work really hard, and they had really crappy living conditions. And the worst thing, the Dutch youth were corrupting their children, and they couldn't have that.
Oh,
No,
no.
don't corrupt my children. And so a group from there decided, you know what? Let's go to America and form a new religious colony. And they are the pilgrims who sailed and founded Plymouth. Yay!
Hooray.
Now, basic Thanksgiving story you learn as a child. The Native Americans welcome the pilgrims and help them to survive by showing them how to raise crops. If you've ever seen Charlie Brown's Mayflower First Thanksgiving story, that's basically the story that we're taught every year as little kids growing up.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure it's because we watched that episode every year. I feel like that's why it's so firmly planted in my mind. Because I'm pretty sure I watched it at school, every year in elementary school. They were like,
Right.
here you go. But, the reality is that, the pilgrims get there, and at this point, the indigenous peoples were used to Europeans. They had been visiting America since, Columbus.
Right.
Gross. Please
Indeed.
refer back to that episode, because he's
Yes.
garbage. And so their experience, of course, had been mostly bloody and full of slavery because Columbus did that, and that's what other people did. So at this point, they were used to the Europeans existing, and the Wampanoag tribe that the pilgrims stumbled upon already had two people at least who spoke English. Some had even already been to England. So,
Wow, okay.
not super surprising. In fact, Squancho, who is the big main important person in our Charlie Brown Thanksgiving story,
Yeah.
had been living, this is all in yes, Massachusetts, had been living there, had grown up there. He'd been part of the Wampanoag tribe, but in a sect. It's like Wampanoag is basically a huge big area, and then they'd
Yeah.
have little villages. So he was part of a village near the coast. And in 1614, he was captured by European explorers who basically were like, hey, come on the boat. Invited some of them on the boat, and they to show them some stuff or whatever. And then actually was like, well, now you're ours. And they sold them into slavery. I
Lame.
know. So he ended up being sold into slavery in Spain, but somehow made it to England. I think some friars helped him get out or whatever. But while he was in England, he learned English. And
Okay.
eventually made his way back to his home in America. And when he gets there, he discovers that his village was completely wiped out by an epidemic that
Oh,
was most
no.
likely brought over by European
Right.
explorers. I mean,
Right. Of
not their
course.
fault, that just is the reality of that.
Right.
And so he literally steps off a ship to go back home, and he finds broken down homes. There's bones strewn all over the place, and
Ugh.
as far as anyone can tell, he is literally the only survivor from the Patuxent Band of the Wampanoag. It's like everyone else is dead.
Oh, that's awful.
So he ends up going further inland to a different sec a different band of the Wampanoag. And because he had spent time away and what could speak English fluently, he became an interpreter between European explorers and colonists and the
Yeah.
indigenous peoples of the area, and was used as to help negotiate an agreement between the Wampanoag and the Pilgrims. So Massasoit was the leader of the Wampanoags, and he's the one that kind of helped broker that deal. But Squanto, also not really that great a guy, used his position to manipulate and get power because, people are people
That's
and people
right.
suck.
Right.
So there are some sources that claim that he is trying to vie for power to become the leader to take over from Massasoit. And at one point even lied and claimed that Massasoit was plotting to attack the English, like trying to in order to get rid of him. But that got exposed as a lie, and so the Wampanoag wanted Squanto back in order to, I don't know, probably kill him or punish him for treason, essentially, if
Right,
he's.
yeah.
And the colonists were like, "No, we like him." So like they kept him, and they I guess protected him from the Wampanoag, but like
Wow.
they're pissed as fuck about it because they're like, "Dude, this guy's trying to start shit, and then you're not giving him to us when he's committed a crime."
Right.
But he ended up dying. Squanto died from fever, as that happens in 1622. But still, like, that's Squanto's story.
Wow. Did not know that.
No,
Did not
never
know
learned any of
that.
that.
No.
You're like, oh, Squanto teaches them how to do things and helps save them. Yay, Squanto! And he and
Right.
Massasoit are besties. And you're like, no,
No.
no, bad blood all over the place here. So going back to Massasoit reaching out to the pilgrims, because he did kind of come and offer some help, some friendship through Squanto, but it wasn't out of kindness or friendliness. It
Yeah.
was out of a need for an alliance. So what we're not told at all about, we're taught nothing at all about the indigenous peoples who were here and their lives before we showed up. None of that shows up in any of our school stuff.
No,
So like there is a lot of like political play happening. There are warring groups with each other and like years of political history,
Right.
like hundreds of years, thousands of years of history between
Right.
these groups and these of people, and we understand none of that. So the Wampanoag at this point had suffered a lot of devastation because of the disease again. Primarily brought out by the Europeans. And
Yes.
so they were in a vulnerable position when the pilgrims have shown up. Not to the pilgrims, because there's not that
Right.
many, but to these other warring tribes and factions. So, like, they're going, you
Because
know
their
what?
numbers are
Right.
dwindling because of the,
Because they've
yeah.
lost a lot of people. So they're like, all right, you know what? Let's make an alliance with this group of English people who do have slightly more advanced technology. More guns, more
Right.
whatever. We know there's probably going to be more of them coming. Let's go ahead and make an alliance with them so that we have added to our numbers. We have another level of safety and protection. And so, like, that was the goal. But, like, the Wampanoag, not everyone was super thrilled that Massasoit was doing this because most of the, like, there's a lot of them who are super into the idea of like getting rid of Massasoit and killing all the pilgrims. They're like, no, let's kill them all now. Let's just get rid of them all. None of this nonsense. But Massasoit, is like, no, this is what we're doing. And so that's what they did. So at the time, the Wampanoag believed that, it's Wampanoag land that the pilgrims are on. And they were believing that the, or understanding that the pilgrims were there on their land, using the land, being part of the land, being sort of part of the Wampanoag. Like, not that they were Wampanoag, but that they were together. Whereas the English were like, this is our land now.
Right, as the English do.
As they do.
As they do,
And
yes.
so, like, literally, the very next generation, like we're talking Massasoit's son, whose name is like, I'm gonna say it wrong, is like Metacomet, Takamet. I'm not 100%. It looks like Meta Comet, but I'm sure that's not how you say it. But when he becomes leader, war has broken out. He is
Right.
referred to as King Philip, which we do slightly touch on, very lightly, in AP American history. And there's war, and essentially at the end of this war that happens, like 30% of the English population and nearly half of all the Native Americans in New England, not just this area, and all of New England are dead.
Wow.
So like
That's a lot.
the this first Thanksgiving that I like to put in quotations, Thanksgiving, is like this tiny little speck of we're trying out this agreement thing and seeing how this works. Surrounded by death and war on all
Right.
sides around it between all these same people. So it's bizarre.
It's not, yeah, it's not what we've been taught at all.
So like today, for most Indigenous peoples, especially those who are descendant from any of the groups that were in New England, it's a national day of mourning. They gather at Old Plymouth and like do a walk of mourning because ultimately Massasoit welcoming those English settlers and making an alliance with them was the biggest mistake of all of their history because that
Facts.
kind of opened the gateway into letting people in.
Facts.
Okay, so the very first Thanksgiving, this little bright spot in a sea of war and death and destruction that was reality. So I'm not sure why we
Right.
elevate this one little, like, not typical thing.
Right, yeah.
So it was a 3-day long feast in which the pilgrims invited the Wampanoag to come help them celebrate the success of their first harvest because they did teach them. The Wampanoag did come and show them how to grow corn, you know, using fish to be
Right.
fertilizer, but also taught them that corn and squash grow well together. They helped support each other so that they could, you know, not starve to death and die. But so they. It was a 3-day feast because the Wampanoag lived like a 2-day walk away. Like they weren't that close.
Gotcha.
So it was like they came the 2 days and they stayed for 3 days. So like overnight visitors is apparently part of the first Thanksgiving.
Okay. It was
That's a
like
real
they could, it's not like
tradition.
they could just like walk back home
Yeah.
and then walk back the next day.
Right. So there were well over 100 people there. They estimate that there were at least 90 people from the Wampanoag tribe and at least 50 of the English settlers that were there. And, you know, as you mentioned it, like we see these lovely pictures where they're all sitting around a table holding hands, and it's like pilgrim, guy with an Indian headdress, because it's always super special. You know, it's like all around this
Right.
table. And that's not how it was.
Nope.
The Wampanoag primarily sat on the ground to eat because that's how they would eat. Like that was their,
Right.
when they're at home, they sit down on the ground and they eat together. And the English primarily sat at tables because that's what they do. So they weren't like together, but they were together. If that makes sense.
Yes.
So, yeah, whatever. But so, again, it was this brief little period of time in which they were trying stuff out, but ultimately, lots of wars, lots of death, lots of murdering each other back and
Right.
forth. I mean, it didn't last long. And 10 years after the Pilgrims came, more Puritans came. Yay.
Yay.
And they formed the Massachusetts Bay Colony, and that's when things got shittier because they were
Right.
led by John Winthrop, who brought lots more people, lots more ships. And they had zero interest in anything with the native peoples from the area. They were
Right.
like, hard pass, because ultimately they were, whereas the Pilgrims were from the separatist group that were kind of like, we want to just do our thing.
Right.
You do you. I mean, that's
Right.
our land now, obviously. We're still English.
Yes.
But you do you over there. These Puritans were basically, if you aren't Christian, then you worship Satan.
Oh, they were
They
those.
were those
Oh, okay.
Puritans.
1,000% Lilith.
So like they showed up in, yes, 1,000% Lilith. A thousand percent. So
They
like
were the Greg Locke peers.
oh my God, they totally were. John Winthrop is totally the Greg Locke of the 1600s. 1,000%. Yes. Yes. So, you know, They were like, exactly like every other religion we've come across is basically, it's my religion or death.
Yes.
And so lots of
You're
people
not with
died.
me, you're against me. Ah, yep.
And, way more of them, they took over, and that Massachusetts Bay Company is what grew. That's what became Boston, like it's,
Right.
yeah. So, like, there it is. That's the real story of Thanksgiving and the Pilgrims, who were less bad than most of the others. And there was an effort. An effort was made. It was not a
Yes.
true effort. And this is literally like a blip of time in the midst of nothing but bloodshed and war and hate and bullshit. But yay, Thanksgiving.
Right.
So, there you go. It's not great.
No.
'Cause it's like, look at our togetherness and how well we can work together for like 5 years, and then we kill each other. Yay.
And then we wiped them all out and put them in Oklahoma somewhere.
Well, and so what was more disturbing to me as I'm reading this is that some people claim that this wasn't really the first Thanksgiving. I mean, this is what we use as our
Right.
reference of Thanksgiving, but that actually Thanksgiving is there in Mystic, which I've been to because I live here now.
Really?
In Mystic, there was like a horrific, I'm just gonna say genocide because there's really no other word for it. In which the, I don't remember what group it was, the European explorer settler garbage that came murdered like the entire Pequot nation, basically,
Oh,
and
wow.
then like celebrated because they did it. Then you're like,
Garbage.
okay, so that's terrible.
That's trash, is what that is.
So I'm over here being like, Thanksgiving is trash. So hard pass, hard pass. So maybe this Thanksgiving, as you're eating your turkey and your stuffing and your cranberry sauce and whatever else you're eating, you can think to yourself, yay for that one moment that we weren't murdering each other, but let's not forget all those years that we just murdered each other, because
Right.
that's what we do. Keep beating the indigenous peoples back until they're in a tiny little reservation with no clean water.
Right. Ugh. Terrible.
So let's add that to our America Sucks category.
Yes, indeed.
I love that we managed to stay on topic. Like we kept a theme.
We did.
America sucks, and here's another
Yes.
example of when we were shitty.
Yep, pretty much.
So there it is. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Which is why I vote we just go ahead and skip it and go straight to a 1000% Lilith.
Yes.
Bring on my Starbucks Christmas joy. I'm telling you. One more plug. Sugar cookie almond milk latte. If they are out of almond milk, don't panic. Oat milk might actually be a little bit better. It's a creamier. So good. Because there have been times where, like, I'm so sorry we're out of. I'm like, please, please don't let it be the sugar cookie flavor. Because it's literally the only thing I can't make up. And they're like, we're out of almond milk. Great. Got oat milk? Here for that.
Nice. Well, that was excellent. Thank you for schooling us on the first Thanksgiving. I didn't know any of that about Squanto, by the
Squanto? Yeah,
way.
none of that. He's like
None
this,
of
like,
that.
yay, Squanto. And you're like, oh, slavery, also
What?
bad, manipulative, treasonous. What the fuck?
But also for like all that he's been through, can you blame him?
I mean, no, like his entire world, everyone that he ever knew was dead by the time he finally got
Like
back from being sold
I
into
feel like
slavery.
Squanto, I want a movie on
On
Squanto's villain
Squanto.
story. On Squanto's
Villain
villain
story.
story. This is what I need. Anyway.
I love
Because I mean, I don't fully blame him, to be
it.
honest,
No.
because
Because I argue, all the bad things happen because we just, I say we, I'm from Scotland. We came over and, I was like, this is ours now.
like mine.
Which is the most English thing I can come up with, by the way. It's like, oh,
Right.
This looks nice. This is mine now.
It's just,
Bye.
it's mine.
This is mine now.
Mine. Right.
Well.
You're like the seagulls
Mine?
from Finding, yes, from
Mine?
Finding Nemo.
Mine?
Mine.
Mine?
Mine.
Mine?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Well, that was funsies,
It was. Thank you.
which means that it must be time for tarot time with April at Spooky Spooky. All right, Claire. Do you know any Thanksgiving songs?
Thanksgiving songs?
Right?
Oh, what's that one from Bob's Burgers where Linda sings it about the turkey?
I don't know that one. I have no knowledge of
It's
that.
funny though. I don't know it off the top of my head.
For some reason, and I don't know why, so apologies. The song that comes to mind is not remotely related to Thanksgiving and is actually related to Shaker Town. So not pilgrims, but "Tis a gift to be simple, tis a gift to be free, tis a gift to come back where we ought to be."
See, I know the other words where it was like the Lord of the Dance part.
Dance, dance wherever he may
Wherever you
be.
may be, I am the Lord of the Dance, said he. Yeah, that one. You dropped one. No.
Lead you all wherever
Wherever
you
you
may
may
be,
be.
and I'll lead you all in
All
the
in the dance, said he.
I
Yeah,
have
that
no idea
one.
what that song's about, but I'm sure it's Lilith.
Probably. Stop.
Gotta be 1,000% Lilith.
Yeah, it's 1,000% Lilith, and that's why we sing it in youth choir at church.
Well, but I was also drinking Starbucks in church, so like it's fair.
That's fair.
Okay. Oh, I didn't turn on my moon lamp.
No.
Okay. We have the Ten of Pentacles. The Tower.
No.
And the Ace of Wands.
The tower's a bad card. I remember it was a terrible card.
But luckily it's going to be on Thanksgiving, so.
Is that lucky? Is it?
I mean, depends on how you look at it. I'm here for it. What did I say? The Ten of
Ten of
Pentacles?
Pentacles. Coins.
This is about sharing your wealth, and there's a lot of wealth. Whether it's emotional or spiritual wealth, you have it in abundance and are more than willing to share. It's about inheritance, financial stability, and charity. There's a lot of family legacy in this card, so it sounds like you're getting ready to go be with your family for Thanksgiving.
Nah. That's
Oh, just as a reminder for those of you who do not have super supportive, happy families that you want to spend time with, this card is about being among people without basing your emotional health or well-being on them. So, like, it's okay.
right.
It's
It's
okay.
fine.
It's okay if like they're really toxic and you just you know, you drink a lot. Maybe you need to drink a lot that day. That's fine. We don't live in prohibition anymore. It's not
No.
poisoned currently, we hope. And then to the tower.
No, the tower.
Tarot, let's see, in tarot, the tower is about your life dissolving. You've built up this life, this tower, piece by piece. You were sure about each placement of each stone. Then from out of nowhere, the universe reaches down, grabs your little snow globe of a life, and shakes the hell out of it. This can be about someone hurting you so badly you forget who you are, having someone treat you unfairly, being deceived, robbed, violated, or demeaned, or losing part of your identity. It can be divorce, death, losing a home or a job, tragedies and accidents, chaos and fear. Or it could be that you're with your family for Thanksgiving. It may just be that experience for you. So, like, it doesn't have to be huge. But it just means that, you know, it's more about change I think more than anything. I don't feel like the tower is that bad of a card. Oh, in fact, a couple of paragraphs later, I don't think that the tower is a bad card. Haha, nice. It's a serious card, and sometimes in our life we have to face up to real changes. So that's fine. The tower clears the rubbish out of the way so that you can rebuild on an empty canvas. So it's gonna be fine. Don't panic. Don't panic.
Don't panic. Okay,
Don't
don't
panic.
panic.
It's fine. It's more of a card of change. So I know that it's very visually destructive, but it doesn't really necessarily have to be that destructive of an experience, I don't think.
Gotcha.
It can just be like a, you know, I realize now that I am the way I am because only because it's Thanksgiving, you know. That
Right.
like maybe you have that epiphany with your family, you're like, oh, I get it now, and I can acknowledge that, accept it, and move on, kind of a thing. Just because I know that family holidays aren't great for everybody, so I'm trying to keep that in
Facts.
mind. I'm very grateful that mine are usually pretty chill.
Yeah.
So, all right, and we're gonna end our week with the Ace of Wands. Let's see. Blah blah blah. The wand is given to you, which could be interpreted as the universe handing you some good luck or good karma. But what you do with that is up to you. Doesn't that sound fun? The Ace of Wands is succeeding beyond your dreams. Sometimes, even against reason, things line up in such a way that luck, coincidence, hard work, and planning make everything turn out right. This card is heavy with responsibility, so take care and be careful what you do with that stick, because it could take your eye out if you're not careful. But so, like, it's fine, because maybe everything falls apart so that you can rebuild it in the best possible way. Huh. What a great
Facts.
card to have after the tower. So
That is a good, yeah.
not so bad. It'll be all
Okay.
right. It'll be okay. All right. It's the Wheel of Fate, Claire.
It is.
What does fate have in store for us?
I have no idea.
Do 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 do. The first topic. Woo, woo, woo. Nothing says Merry Christmas like paranormal. You
Facts.
it's true. I mean, when you think about it, you know, the Christmas Carol, it's very paranormal.
Is.
There's ghosties. Nothing says, I mean, there's lots of Christmas ghosts.
I mean, that's fair. What was that one dumb movie we watched where it was like, we watched it together where it was like that girl went, it was like a stupid Hallmark movie and the guy was like
Was the
haunting the place.
ghost, and like
Yes, and
she
then
managed to bring him back to life at the end.
yes.
Spirit of Christmas, I swear to
That
God.
yes.
I don't know if you can find it, everyone, but you must watch it because it's both terrible and you can't stop watching. Because
Yes.
it's like, what the fuck? Like,
I was
it's
like, wait, we
okay.
watched, I was like, we watched that together, didn't
We
we?
did, because I made
Yes,
you watch
yes.
it. I was like, you have to see this movie.
Because I was like, at the end, it's like, wait. What?
My
What?
love not only brings you back from the dead, but into a whole new century, basically. Okay, it's
I'm like,
fine
I have
now.
questions.
We
I
don't have
have
to worry about the
so many
lack of a birth
questions.
certificate, so like we can't really get married, and you have no way to prove who you are, and if I ever leave you're fucked, but it's fine.
I was just like, I have so many questions.
Well, there you have it, another fun week at the Brunch and Judge. Come visit us next week when we bring you some paranormal stories that maybe have a Christmas bent, maybe not. Who knows? We don't
Right.
know.
We'll see.
But until then, you can find us in all the things and at all the places at.
Brunch and Judge.
Please follow, like, comment, subscribe, and you can send us topics for our wheel or any specific stories you'd like for us to cover to us at.
Brunchandjudge@gmail.com.
So until next time, keep on brunching
And keep on judging.
and drinking your communist coffee from Starbucks.
That's right.
1000% Lilith.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.